everybody. Welcome to episode 133 of the Alexi Sale podcast. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you to all the people. We did a Young Ones event in the festival in Morecambe in Lancashire on the 21st. Me, Nigel and Lisa Mayer, and travelled up and back on the train with Lisa, which is nice, and also lovely to see Nigel. And very devout fans of the Young Ones, and I hope they got their money's worth. It was a lovely evening. Very people really excited we were there, and very sensibly, the organizer Matt had got Waterstones to come along with some of my books to sign. So, in fact, we sold them all. So maybe we should think about it. It's a bit late for rope tackle, isn't it? Really, but
you're
going to do some photos, weren't you? You're supposed to do some photos.
Some photos.
You were going to do some photos and we were going to sign them and sell them and give the money to people at Gaza, but you've forgotten because you're selfish.
Wow.
You had that idea that I did forget and I am selfish. What did you want to do? You wanted to print out some headshots and sign them?
Yeah, and then it'd be just something to sign and then we'll give the money to...
And sell them where?
Well, like rope tackle.
Show.
Yeah, the show, yeah. And at the roundhouse on the 2nd of August.
Fuck me, that's a big undertaking.
What?
Printing off all those pictures.
Well, you'd have to do it. You just get somebody to do it.
All right, that's probably an off-podcast conversation.
I think they like to hear us bicker, don't they? It's part of the kind of parasocial.
I've got a Polaroid. I bought an old 1980s Polaroid from like a guy and was really excited about it and then went online to buy film.
Yeah.
And it's 25 quid for 8 photos.
Shit.
So my first thought was that would be a fun thing to do after a gig, but how many films would I have to buy? And that's a big old bill. Yeah, and then we'd have to charge people at least that to cover the cost.
Yeah.
And then we're sending, 50p a photo to Gaza? It seems a bit...
Well...
You know what? I'll just give all my cut to Gaza. How about that?
No, because it's a way to interact with people anyway as well.
It is.
So
nice.
Just find a... I mean, I'd do it, but I don't want to. And Linda's got enough on her plate.
Well, I would love to do a new photo.
You could do a photo of us if you want.
And of us or of you, but something new taken especially for this project.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not just some old headshot off of Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for airing that out on air so that to give me the kick up the bum necessary. It's nice to hear Nigel was at the Young Ones show because he couldn't make it to the Glastonbury one we did.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that must have brought a new, because I was worried that you were just going to do the same thing. Sorry about that. I got some phone interference.
Well,
you were going to get the same old shit again, but Nigel being there would have added new energy to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Lisa makes me tell the same stories about which, like me being off my head on tranquilizers on the plane to Australia. I don't know why she thinks that's so interesting. But I go along with it.
Like horse tranquilizers, like ketamine?
No, person, Ativan, I think it was.
Person tranquilizers.
Person tranquilizers.
Yes, we do have 2 shows coming up. Rope Tackle is sold out. Thank you to the people of Shoreham. But this is your last chance, listeners, to join us at the Rope Tackle. It's a big show. It's a massive room. Diane Morgan is there.
Roundhouse.
at the Roundhouse in Camden as part of the Roundhouse Comedy Festival on the 2nd of August. Get your tickets. This is your chance to come and join us there. We may or may not have signed photos for you as well, but we'll hang around and meet people afterwards. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's just, you know, nice to have something to sign and say and you know, give the money to.
Yeah, you normally bring like your old books.
I know, but I haven't got anything. I've lost.
Yeah,
I've used them all up.
Oh, when I first started working with you, you'd bring them to gigs, and it was very nice because people could come and have a chat with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I had a chat to a man who's got sarcoidosis, like I have. I think his was in his. Where was his? I can't remember now. But I think it was all right. And I did have a chat to a man who's. I wasn't really paying attention, but I think runs the Morecambe Gun Club. And any time, you know, I wanted to come down to Morecambe and shoot, he'd fix it up. I was a bit distracted. He said his favourite gun was a CZ rifle that he had. And my favourite gun was actually when I used to go pistol shooting was a CZ. It was a copy of a Browning High Power. CZ-75, I think it was. Anyway, so if he wants to get back in touch and if he's listening, yeah, I'll pay more attention. So anyway, it was nice.
What's the sarcoid?
Sarcoidosis. One of the, you know, I have three autoimmune conditions with that. Sarcoidosis, which did flare up in 2016 and put me in the neurological hospital for a week. Lichen planus and Harlequin syndrome. Have I never talked about me autoimmune conditions?
Not in great detail, not in any detail, I don't think. You've mentioned that you went dizzy for a bit and had to go to hospital. I think that's as kind of detailed as you went.
I was in hospital for a week. That's when I said, because I got stand-up out of it, and I got like 10 minutes, I got the clothes in the react, because I said, my friend Harry is dead now. He said to me, you really, if you're in hospital, you've got to tell the staff that you're still working, that you're still a functioning member of society, not just some old person, because they won't, it's not out of cruelty, but they'll just treat you less seriously if they think you're some just old, some old retired people. So these two young doctors were triaging me, and I said to them, I was in Holby City recently, in the TV, and I said, I had situs invertus, which means all your organs are on the wrong side of your body. And it turned out that young hospital doctors don't watch soaps on TV, and they looked at each other and said, how the fuck did we miss that? I said, no, it was...
my job.
I said, I'm no, acting. I was acting. And then a bit later on, I told another, I was having some painful surgery. Painful procedure, and I told another doctor the reason I was so stoic was that I was in the SAS. Then he asked me later, he said, were you in the SAS? I said, no. And that was just week day one of the hilarity of me being in and paralyzed and going blind and being in the neurological hospital.
Oh, God.
I recovered. But I think I did a video for sufferers of sarcoidosis. My friend Andy Gill of the Gang of Four, it can be quite serious. It's one of the things that killed him. I've got a type that seems to occur, break out every 30 years or so.
Oh, God.
Andy had it permanently, so it meant that he had to take steroids, and that, of course, you know, very deleterious effect on your body, really. So it didn't do him any good. But Harlequin syndrome, the other thing, well, lichen planus, we'll ignore that for now. Maybe if anybody. But Harlequin syndrome, I sweat in patches. If you never noticed this, that if I have a curry, I sweat on a certain part of my head, and if I'm like exercising, I sweat on a different part of my head.
I've not noticed.
No, so I sweat in weird patches. But my friend Chris Walker, she also, it's very, very rare, but my friend Chris Walker has Harlequin syndrome. as well. She only sweats from underneath her chin, so she's somewhere very hot. She just sweat, just like huge. All the sweat that would normally be all over, over your body, it just comes out of her chin. It's very. But sorry, the doctors were very. She was very, and she lives in Oxford, and for a long time, she would go into the Radcliffe Hospital, and they would coat her in flour and put her in an oven and then heat her up to see where she sweated. Chris Brasher, I think it was, the 4 minute mile athlete, was a doctor at the hospital at the Radcliffe, I think, in Oxford. Yeah, she'd be naked, covered in flour, and then they'd heat her up to see what where she with 14 different herbs and spices.
And a little crumpet would grow out of her chin.
That's the spot. So it's a weird coincidence that two people have got Harlequin syndrome. It might be something to do with being a Maoist in Liverpool in the 60s. That, you know, it's like all them people, you know, that John Ford, John Wayne movie that was made, I can't remember, in somewhere where there'd been a nuclear test. And so everybody got cancer on that movie, John Wayne included, and died. So maybe there was something like that to do with being a Maoist in Liverpool in the 1960s.
Jesus.
Who knows?
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my autoimmune conditions.
No, that John Wayne movie thing.
Oh, the John Wayne movie. I don't know what, I'm sure the listeners know which one it was. I think it was, I don't know if it was Death Valley or somewhere else where there'd been, presumably in Nevada, there'd been a,
oh my God,
there'd been a nuclear bomb set off, and yeah, everybody died. I mean, you have to say John Wayne was a pretty unpleasant person, but still.
So, Alexei.
Yes, hello.
We've had a new prime minister for almost a week, for 5 days.
Yeah.
I've been in a whole world of DIY and painting and decorating, so I've not really been in the loop. Can you catch me up?
Sure. I did all that, didn't I, Andy Burnham? No, he just lightly grilled them.
We did all that, yeah.
Yeah, I've done all that.
And we had quite a few good additions on the YouTube comments, so well done, everybody, on that.
Okay.
We've only spoken to him about him last week, so... Let's do a performance review.
All right. Well, I mean, I was hoping that, you know, I mean, that we were done with the Labour Party, that, you know, under Starmer, they were, you know, they were headed for extinction, really, that the Greens were going to take all their votes and councils and everything, and the Labour Party was going to be consigned to the dustbin of history, which it should be. Now, but it's the fucking thing. I suppose that's one of its qualities, is the fucking thing manages to kind of reinvent itself.
Mm.
I think that Andy Burnham will eventually be, I don't know, but I think will eventually be a disappointment, because he's in hock to the same dark forces, ultimately, as Starmer was. I mean, he's obviously a much less vile, I mean, people reacted to the awfulness of Starmer's personality, that he was just, it's just the most unpleasant character. And I suppose Burnham's a bit less factional, but, you know, it's the end of the kind of Morgan McSweeney era of deliberately targeting left wingers. But nevertheless, I mean, I think John Healey is, of Chancellor is a bad sign. That's somebody looks like an orc. Is that one of those things in Tolkien? And, you know, he's right wing and in hoc to the defence establishment. He's leaving Shabana Mahmood as Home Secretary implies that they will carry on with the persecution of Palestine Action and, you know, we'll do nothing about the horrific court sentences that were handed down to the Filton Six. So, and also, wow. I think today the Filton, their KC, Rajiv Menon, is in court under contempt of. The first time in all of history that a barrister has been charged with contempt of court for what he said when he defended Palestine Action, which was that they said he implied that the court was biased in terms of Elbit yes. systems. And, well, duh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when Palestine Action was banned, before it was, the only people who were invited to consult about it by Yvette fucking Cooper were Elbit Systems and the Israeli embassy. Nobody from Palestine or Palestine Solidarity or Palestine Action was invited. So, I mean, yeah, clearly this law has been done to benefit Elbit Systems and the Israeli weapons industry and, you know, the genocidal state of Israel. But Rajiv Menon has been prosecuted for saying that, and it's a really dangerous road that we're going down, really. And if Burnham allows this to happen, then really he is just, it's another step towards fascism and all this. You can keep all your fucking £2 bus fares, but, you know, that's barristers being prosecuted for telling the truth, I think, is a much more dangerous thing. So that would be my 1 week review of Andy Burnham.
Wes Streeting has joined his cabinet as defense secretary.
Yeah, well, that also another, you know, so it was that line from, that poem that was written for me by Tom Wyman, but that was my line, that Wes Streeting looks like Starmer's son who he made out of margarine. I mean, he's tried to position himself as a left winger, but he's, you know, I mean, close protege of Peter Mandelson.
Rayner's back.
Yes, Angie's back. I mean, she's another fucking two-faced monster. I mean, the Labour Party is a, you know, I mean, as I say in my book, How I've Tried to Change the World by Walking Down the Middle of the Street Shouting, available from September the 3rd. Up, pre-order it now. Launch event in London. I think we're doing events. I don't know if it's been announced yet. We're doing events in Liverpool, Edinburgh, some other places. You know, Lenin said, I know, you know, you can argue with some of the shit Lenin got up to, but he said that, you know, the Labour Party exists to dupe the workers. And I think that that's true. The Labour Party's function within our system of democracy, in inverted commas, is to take the socialist impulses, which are very strong within the British working class, the British people, and divert them, you know, away from socialism, partly if they join the Labour Party, to tie them down in endless tedious meetings. Point of order and composite motion referred to the Executive Committee, Mr. Chairman. And to tie them down and bore them, and
it's all talks and no bollocks.
And, you know, to delude the British public in the broader sense that they are bringing in socialist policies when, in fact, they're leading us down the road to repression and fascism. So yeah, that's the Labour Party. I was hoping we were done with them. I mean, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know whether people will fall for Burnham. I think they will probably temporarily. And the Greens, you know, will go back to single figures. But I imagine that. I hope that the shine will wear off that pretty quick. Years ago, when Linda was doing philosophy, I don't know what he was talking about now, but I think somebody mentioned, you know, a theory, a kind of a philosophical theory that was being long discredited, and the lecturer said, yeah, they're taking the furniture out of that office. I always thought it was great. Great. So I hope they'll be taking the furniture out of Manchesterism before too long and before it's too bleeding late.
I had to double take here, thinking Boris Johnson was in his cabinet, but it's Angela Eagle
The lesser of two eagles. Well, she's a fucking... I mean, she was an early one of those lies about Corbyn. The case of Angela's brick, which was one of those early entirely.
Oh God, I remember that.
And it was done so because her constituency party was pro Corbyn. It was done deliberately. They pretended that a brick had been thrown through the window of Angela Egan's constituency office in Birkenhead. And the Merseyside police, proved that there was literally no window and no brick. But nevertheless, the Starmer, they used it, I think under Corbyn, but they used it because the right wing control the discipline. They used it to suspend the constituency Labour Party in Birkenhead because they hated Angela Eagles so much and wanted to get rid of her. And so the press concocted this bleeding story of Angela's brick, which was 100% live as never. You'll probably still see it, you'll still be able to see it as if it was true.
I just Googled it and there was no sign of it not being true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a complete lie. It's 100% untrue. Wow.
The length these go to. Chris Bryant's headshot looks like someone stuck a probe up his butt.
He's another hateful character.
Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. I don't know who Alex Norris is. Boring face. Stephen Kinnock from Wales.
Git.
Ellie Reeves, Attorney General.
Don't know, probably a git.
Housing Minister Matthew Pennycook.
I don't know.
Not sure. And Miatta Fanbula, Energy Secretary.
Some people like her, but I don't know. She's in the Labour Party.
Yeah, so git. Lucy Powell, of course. Education.
Fucking arsehole.
And reshuffled around is Ed Miliband. I didn't even know he was in the cabinet before.
Yeah, he was Energy Minister. My phone sends me stories from the Daily Telegraph for some reason, and they've always hated Ed Miliband because he was a disciple of net zero and was trying to push it, really, which is something the Telegraph thinks is worse than fascism. He's a fool, I think, Ed Miliband. I mean, I've met him once or twice. I think he's an idiot. His father would be very disappointed in him.
Really?
His father was a leading Marxist. I mean, he's not as big a bastard as his brother David, who's a complete shitbag. But, I think his father would have been very disappointed in both of them, really. His father, Ralph, was a leading Marxist. I remember when I think Miliband was leading the Labour Party, the Mail, one of their most disgraceful. The father Ralph was a refugee from Nazi Germany, but the Mail did it. I mean, I think he was dead by this. The big Mail did a big hit piece entitled "The Man Who Hated Britain," which was about Miliband's father. It was just, I mean, even by the Mail standards, it was despicable.
No need to mention Yvette Cooper. Jonathan Reynolds looks like not David Mitchell.
He looks like a kind of he commanding a motor yacht, doesn't he, really? in the Solent in 1912.
Yeah, I can picture the hat on him. Yeah.
Yeah. Why Bridget. Do I know all these people? I never used to. I never used to. I used to be free. I used to be free to think of flowers and, cats, and now my head. Now I have to know who Miatta Fanbula is. I mean, it's
thinking
terrible
about this, man. My 20s were so blissful. I was a stark raving idiot, but I was just my political ethos was, why can't we all just get along? You know, it was just even regarding the Middle East,
the
and everything. I was just so blissfully. I would even say neutral, just kind of like both siding everything and just, and not, but so not plugged in. completely unaware of everything. I'm not saying now I'm completely tuned in. I don't even, like I said, I don't know half of these people, and I don't know how Burnham's been doing in his first week, but I'm more tuned in and care. I care more than ever.
Mm-mm. It's horrible, isn't it?
Is it because shit's more serious, or have I just matured, or have we just got nothing else to fucking do?
I think shit is undoubtedly more serious. I think it's, you know, it's we're on the verge of a terrible darkness, I think. So, you know, it's you're forced to, but you know, the ins and outs of the stinking Labour Party. I blame Jeremy, really. When he was elected, I remember over lockdown, I read every book about the Labour Party, about his rise, like Alex Nunn's The Candidate, and there's a party called A Party with Socialists in It, which is about the Labour Party. And I read all the accounts of his decline and fall, and the book Maguire and Pogron, the Sunday Times journalists did about, I can't remember what it was called, but about his rise and fall, you know, which wasn't entirely sympathetic. You know, I read all those. I devoured each and every one of them, and, you know, I'm much the worse for it, really. I'm a much sadder person for it.
I think you're right to blame Jeremy there. Like, I went my whole life without ever connecting with a leader, a political politician.
Yeah.
And then to see a party leader who actually, I was like, oh, they can actually speak for us?
Yeah, briefly, I would hope, yeah.
And then suddenly you realize that's what you want all the time. That's now the gold standard.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Is,
I was very excited. I mean, I'm very excited by what's happening in the States, really, which I always thought the States was kind of completely fucked. But, you know, the democratic socialists of America seem to be making real inroads. And I don't know how Trump, you know, there's obviously a hideous character called Stephen Miller, you know, talking about left terrorism and that they may try and, you know, make voting left-wing parties illegal or whatever. But, I mean, they're having tremendous success in various Senate and congressional. I don't know what the American system. I don't know if there's the Senate the same as Congress. I don't know.
Are they really making any dents out in?
Well, yeah, I think they are. Yeah, I mean, big. I mean, obviously, Mamdani is the poster boy, but there's a lot of people following in his wake. And, you know, I mean, it's also, despite, if you think of the vast amounts of money that the Israel lobby plows into the United States, you know, 50% of people in the United States think Israel is committing a genocide. 50%. Vast majority of people in the United States don't want to finance Israel anymore. And that's huge, you know. Well, you know, and obviously the Democratic Party is bought and paid for, like the Republicans, by the Israel lobby. So, you know, but I don't know how that's going to be. These leeches are going to be dislodged. But nevertheless, it's happening, you know.
So is this the reason why Trump recently started planting the seeds for voter fraud and stuff?
Like all that, yeah, and talking about communism and you know, communism, I mean, for God's sake. I mean, they're a real threat, you know, they're a real threat to the Israel lobby. You know, there's this race in Michigan between a guy called Abdul Al. This is for the Democratic primary. So this is just to say who the Democrats are going to put in the race between this. A guy called Abdul El Said and a woman called Haley Stevens. And Haley Stevens, you should look at some footage. She's the maddest fucking woman I've ever seen in my goddamn life. But she's received support from AIPAC. And this is just a primary, remember. So this isn't an election. It's an election within the Democratic Party. AIPAC has pumped in something like $50 million into this, into attack ads against Abdul El Said. And I hope it's not working. I don't know, because it did. Right. I mean, they did that a few years ago with Cori Bush and a couple of other people, and it worked. People Yeah, because people don't get that, you know, get believe, you know, believe attack ads when they see so many of them. I think it's working less now, but it, obviously it's younger people who get their information not from legacy media, but older people still believe this bullshit. But $50 million fucking dollars into a primary.
And that, so that's AIPAC pumping it into Haley's
campaign. You know. I mean, what they've started doing now is having these front organizations, the, you know, Democratic Women for Change and stuff, which is just AIPAC under another.
How's this for a segue? It's like Hayley Stevens' political campaign is a Patreon account and AIPAC is their devoted podcast listeners. Listeners, if you want to be as supportive as AIPAC for us, head over to patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. That's patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. Support the show. This is a really independent grassroots production, as you can probably tell. No marketing, all word of mouth. But we still managed to put some exclusive content on the Patreon. Alexi reacts to stuff. Here, speaking of shooting ranges, we've got a video up there of Alexi shooting guns, which is kind of weird. And we've got Alexi, Nigel, and Lisa Mayer all watching The Young Ones, two episodes of The Young Ones, and reacting to it. Well, we've got to do more of those, actually. And there's chat rooms. Of course, you can join the chat rooms and get involved there. Lovely community we have. Please consider throwing us £3 a month at patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. In the description of the podcast, no matter where you're listening or watching, there are links to the Patreon. There's a link to pre-order Alexi's amazing book, How I Tried to Change the World by Walking Down the Street Shouting, out in September. Pre-order your signed copy today. And you can also find the link for our Roundhouse Camden Comedy Festival show with Diane Morgan on the 2nd of August. Please, please click those links. Have a think about it. Come and join us and support the show. I was going to say... I blanked out. I had something in the middle of that I reminded myself.
I mean, it's the internet, isn't it? But now, apparently, people from Michigan are called Michiganders. Oh. Which I didn't know that. Of course, it's got the largest Palestinian population in the United States. So that should help.
Fascinating. Well done, everyone who went out on the 18th and protested.
I did. Big march, actually. I thought it was going to be small, but it was out on the march last Saturday. Yeah, no, it was really big. I was surprised.
I saw. Unfortunately, I was bloody shooting all weekend. I couldn't make it.
Oh, that's right. You and your mates are making a film. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want to save it for a later date?
We're not going to be editing for a while, but yeah, me and mates made a film. Over the weekend, we shot it. Still a lot of editing and post-production to do. So watch this space. I'll let you all know when it comes out.
Oh, I can talk about it. I've got a couple of projects.
Yeah?
I mean, this coming up in the autumn. One is, for years, it's a really interesting idea that I've been toying with for years, and I was going to make try and write a film about it, but I couldn't. In Liverpool, In the 19th century, had the by far and away the finest collection of orchids in the world. I think William Roscoe, the kind of founder of Liverpool in a way, had been instrumental. I can't remember, but also sea captains and stuff would bring orchids. So there was this. They're obviously very delicate, and so they were kept under glass in heated. kind of a heated building. But then when Militant came into power, they were obviously faced with swinging, you know, better to break the law than break the poor. They were faced with swinging cuts from the Thatcher government. And so, and also, I don't know. I mean, I think, I mean, there's a kind of, I mean, there's something to talk about in the program, really. I'm doing an archive out for Radio 4 about it, but the, you know, it's that militant, that kind of left-wingism that really only thinks about kind of concrete things and has got no place for something delicate and beautiful like an orchid. Or maybe I'm being unfair to militants. I mean, it's one of the things I think I'll really want to talk about on the program. But anyway, they closed down the orchid house.
Oh, shit.
But the men who looked after the orchids, who spent their lives looking after the orchids, didn't, and this is my understanding, I mean, that they wouldn't accept it. What they did was they took the orchids they home with them. So they filled their houses with orchids and sort of kept them alive until militants had gone and slightly better times had, well, not necessarily better times, but slightly more money had returned to Liverpool, and they were able to open the orchid house again. And I mean, again, I can't remember. It's years since I researched it, but I think it'll make a really interesting program. Anyway, that is, I'm making that in the autumn for Archive Hour and Radio 4. And also, the guys behind Strangers on a Train, which the more I think about it, the more annoyed I get that it got cancelled. But I've been talking, we were just talking about, you know, my father was a witness in the A6 murder trial, which was the trial of a man called Hanratty, who was the last man to be hanged in Britain. Jeez. And my father was a prosecution witness. And it's widely thought that Hanratty was innocent and was fitted up. But it affected my father quite badly, really.
Okay.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. We didn't really talk about it. But so anyway, we're going to make a film of, just off our own bats, really, make a film about, not really about the you know, whether or not Hanratty was innocent or guilty, the sort of, but really start with my father's story and work out from there. So I'm going to be doing that in the autumn as well. And yeah, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that'll be a narrative film, not a documentary.
Kind of documentary. I mean, the way Peter Lowe, the producer, director, wants to shoot it is to start, is to do an hour and a half interview with me talking about what I can remember. Because I can remember, it's in my first volume of memoir, I can remember I actually opened the door to the policeman. The door went and I opened it. There were just these two. I mean, I would have been nine at this point, 1961. These two giants in trench coats and trilby hats, in my memory. And these were detectives who wanted to, you know, is your dad in? And we thought it was, thought it was MI5 finally coming for us. But
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so they were shown into the front room, you know, which was kept for visits by policemen and so on. And exclusively for the use of. And that was the start of
the interview with you.
And then, yeah, I mean, obviously not use all of that, but, you know, it's only going to be like a 25-minute film, but it's just about the social, like a social history, you know, what Britain was like then, who Hanratty was, why he was probably fitted up for the murder and hung.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The murder of
something
whom,
I've never really talked
ask?
Much about, you know. Eh?
The murder of whom, may I ask?
I don't know. I can't remember his name. There was a couple they were both married, but not to each other, and they were having sex in a lay-by on the A6 in Bedfordshire, I think. The woman was called Valerie, I can't remember now. The guy was shot. The woman was raped and then shot five times, but survived. And a man confessed to it quite convincingly, but they were determined to hang Hanratty, really. That's kind of what happened. But I mean, the police were.
We're not
as opposed
talking
to
about
now, I suppose, but. The police were tremendously corrupt back then.
So this isn't Gwyn Evans and Peter Allen?
No.
The last men to be hanged is, you know what?
No, the last man to be hanged was Hanratty.
Hmm.
But you look at Hanratty. Yeah.
Oh, Hanratty. Oh my God, there's so much here. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that it's a huge industry about Hanratty. So anyway, I've got that personal connection with the case. So yeah, it should be really exciting. I mean, a really interesting piece of work, and we're going to do that towards the end of the year.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Lots to look forward to, and a fucking book, and a big book, show,
and a big
at the Roundhouse.
I'm doing festivals up and down the country.
I would love to, when you're up in Liverpool, if we can get you there for like 3 days, and then maybe we could do a live podcast in Liverpool.
Yeah, well, with that, we were going to do, weren't we, in Tube Rock? We never did that, did we? Yeah.
I really wanted that to happen. Sometimes, you know, best laid plans.
Yeah.
Et cetera, you know, life fucking happens, man. I don't even remember what went wrong with that.
But
lots to look forward to. I'm working a lot over this summer as well, and that kind of stuff is going to be hopefully public knowledge in the autumn as well. I need to make a note and let people know about scheduling over the next couple weeks, because it's a funny one. So this weekend, this podcast drops, the one you're listening to right now. But then next week, we're doing two live shows, Rope Tackle and Roundhouse. So likely next weekend, you're going to have the Rope Tackle show to look forward to on the podcast feed. The weekend after that. Well, you know what? Because then we'll have the Roundhouse in the bank. But
okay, so, fucking take a week off.
Yeah, but 2 weeks after Roundhouse, I'm going to be at Boomtown Festival playing my returning character. I'm one of the main characters at this kind of really fun dance music and immersive theatre festival called Boomhouse in Winchester. Boomtown, not Boomhouse. So I might put the Diane Morgan episode out during Boomtown, and maybe we'll squeeze in another regular show. But just know, listeners, that the scheduling is going to be a bit funny over the next couple of weeks, okay? You will not be getting the usual studio podcast. You'll be getting a couple of lovely live shows to listen to. But it might not be up-to-date political stuff, you know, cutting satire that you're used to. I think that'll do it for this week, Alexi.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think I don't want to do Alexi Reacts, really. Well, that's not for this, but
it's a crazy time right now. I said, if you can watch, if you're watching this on Patreon, I'm covered in paint. I've done my back in, and we're recording this late on a Friday, so I don't have time to. I need to get editing is the main headline here, so that it comes out in the morning on schedule. Love you. I'll see you next week in Shoreham. Next,
yeah, see you in Shoreham, man.
Looking forward to that.
By the sea, by the beautiful sea.
Yeah, sold out show.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'll give you a lift home proper next time.
Thank you, yes.
Last time I just dumped you in Brixton and went home.
In the middle of the night.
I felt... You made me feel terrible about that.
My son's left me.
I'm such a dickhead. You're right. I'm selfish. I'm trying to be better.
Good. All right. See you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Alexi Sell podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.